This session is about time. You can't control your time, but you can control yourself. Have you ever felt like time slips through your fingers while tasks pile up like dirty dishes after a family lunch? Maybe you've also stuck a motivational quote on your desk like, "Plan time or time will plan you," and resolutely rearranged your calendar. But whether you've tried 15-number to-do sheets, color-coded diaries, or sophisticated time-tracking apps, you still feel that controlling time is like trying to tame a cat. Impossible, frustrating, and sometimes painful. The truth is, you can't control time itself. What we can manage with more success, however, is ourselves. And this is where the true art of creative productivity begins. The idea that we have unlimited power over our own time sounds appealing at first. It almost sounds like a superpower. In reality, however, it is a misleading illusion. Our days are influenced by so many factors that simply trying to perfect the schedule is full of dead ends. Here we're talking about biological rhythms, moods, mental capacity, and unpredictable influences like a dead cell phone or an unexpected line at the store where you only wanted to buy bananas. To make an even bigger mistake, traditional time management leads us to believe that 1 hour is always worth the same amount of time, whether it's spent cleaning, doing hard analytical work, or brainstorming on a new project. But hand on heart, an hour full of inspiration, when ideas are literally overflowing, just doesn't compare to an hour when you're lounging around drinking your fourth cup of coffee while telling yourself for the third day in a row that it's time to finally start working, and it certainly doesn't compare to an hour with your family. In order to achieve true efficiency, we need to start distinguishing between productivity upswings and periods of inactivity, and no perfectly organized calendar can help with that. The power of authentic planning, surfing the waves of energy. Imagine surfing. If you buy a board, you don't become a world champion overnight. You have to feel the rhythm of the waves and learn to capture the moment. Scheduling time is basically the same thing. We can't try to ride the waves. Instead, we have to learn to ride them. Your productivity is not about how many hours you work each day, but how consciously and effectively you use them. Truly authentic planning doesn't just rely on our to-do list. Track your energy levels at different times, when you have the most creative potential, or when the creative hangover hits. If you notice ideas bubbling up in your sparkling mineral water in the morning, schedule your creative work for that time. And when else to answer emails but in the afternoon, when you don't expect any miracles from your brain? The world is constantly emphasizing performance. Check off as many tasks as possible, produce as many outputs as possible, fill as many pages as possible in the notebook of achievements. But the more we push our productivity by the number of items completed on the list, the more we risk losing the meaning and quality of not only our work, but our own lives. If you're a graphic designer, for example, consider that it can take hours of observation, research, or searching for inspiration to create a single design that looks like a waste of time on paper. But in reality, it can be a moment when your ideas are incubated. And it's this moment of distance and seeming inactivity that can lead to inspiration exploding like fireworks. Let's look at how to start managing yourself instead of time. Know your rhythms. Find out when you have the most energy and creativity. If you're an early riser, don't hesitate to put on your most challenging tasks first thing in the morning. If you're more of a night owl, use your evening flow to get creative. We all have a different biorhythm. Instead of fighting it, it's better to embrace it and work with it. Plan with respect for yourself. Plan each day to match your current mental capacity. If you are totally exhausted after a long conference, take a rest day and focus on less demanding activities. Save the challenging creative projects for when your head is as clear as the sky after a storm. Don't forget yourself. We are used to planning only what is relevant to our work. But our time is not just work. It's us, our family, friends, hobbies, sleep, and so much more. And that's where it clicks. It's as if work has the highest priority in life, and we were born just to go to work in the morning, out of work at night. and what's in between? Black? Dark? Nothing. I don't think so. I mean, life happens in between. If you're not lucky enough to be living your dream game with your own work yet, it's outside that work window that you have the opportunity to really live. And what does Homo sapiens do? Nothing. He doesn't give a shit. And that, my friends, is the mistake. The organization of us over time has to be complex, and we have to plan how we want to live, not just how Instagram productive we want to be or what our bosses tell us to do. A limited gift, not an infinite resource. Time is limited, my friends. Ouch. That hurts. Have you ever thought about how you treat your time? It may sound like a science experiment or a philosophical question, but really, how aware are you that the time you spend is not an inflatable balloon, but rather precious sand that is spilling through our fingers at every moment? Because our perception of time is often distorted. We treat it as if it were an endless tank full of petrol. Just turn the key and go on our way without worrying about how much fuel is left. But here's the rub. We're not pumping from an infinite tank, but from a carefully measured amount that's been given to us. We take time for granted, which is paradoxical, because nothing is more certain in our lives than that each of us will one day run out. Now imagine the irony. We either waste it aimlessly or realize too late how we have wasted it. Suddenly, we act as if we have eternity at our disposal. I'll do it tomorrow. I still have time. It can wait till next month. I'll call my mom tomorrow. And while we put things off for those glorious, endless tomorrows, they gradually turn into the past that is now out of our reach, leaving us with only memories and often regrets for having wasted our time. When we reflect on our lives and evaluate our time in retrospect, we often encounter one painful reality. Perhaps you, like me, have sometimes sighed over lost time, the opportunities we let pass us by. How many times have you had the opportunity to say yes to something that tempted you, but rather let fears and excuses win out? How many times have you been able to embark on a new journey, do something extraordinary, or maybe just spend more quality time with the people you care about? Now let's be honest. How many times have we given up those chances in favor of mindlessly scrolling on our phones, watching an endless Netflix series marathon, or needlessly dwelling on worries that weren't worth it in the first place? It's funny how often we forget that time is not a commodity that can be given back or bought after the fact. You can't refill time like stocking a fridge. You can't bank it for a rainy day. It is a luxury commodity that we all have in limited quantities. The difference between those who use it effectively and those who waste it is not so much about how much time they have, but how they can turn it into something meaningful, valuable, and joyful. Our underestimation of the value of time also stems from a particular illusion. The younger we get, the more it seems that we have an infinite amount of time ahead of us. Every Sunday, for example, we say to ourselves, "Well, Monday's a long way off." Every year, we plan a long list of resolutions with words for the new year. "This year, I'll finally do it. I've got all year." And so it goes on and on. We procrastinate, we plan, we procrastinate some more. Until the moment comes when we feel the first real sense of mortality. Suddenly we realize that all our time has already turned into the past, and that the promised infinite resource was just an illusion. Imagine your life as a clock with a limited amount of grains of sand. You can't return them, you can't create new ones or recalculate them, and now that clock is right in front of your eyes and you have a choice. Will you wait for the last grains to fall through while you hypnotically watch TV shows, scroll through social media, or wonder if you can even get anything done today? Or will you grab the opportunities you have left and make them into something incredible, memorable for you and your life? Go and call your parents, play with your children, your dogs, or go out and make yourself happy. Time is a limited gift. It is beautiful, irreplaceable, and truly precious. Let us treat it as if we were given it today, with the condition that we must spend it wisely, as if we have to make a conscious decision about what to do with it. So don't think of time as an unlimited power source in a socket that you connect to without hesitation. Think of it as a gift whose value lies not in how much you have, but in what you do with it. In the pursuit of success, recognition, and material possessions, we usually rush through life with the feeling that we have enough time for everything. And somehow, we secretly hope that the pie of time will never end, that it is, how should I say it, endless. And therein lies one of the biggest fallacies of our modern approach to life. Do you know when this is felt the most? Facing death. People on their deathbeds regret being so busy and not looking there and then. Or the moment when you're spending your last moments with your pet, begging for every second. That's where we realize it. But what's also interesting is that it leaves us again very quickly. Interestingly, this approach is not just manifested at the individual level, but becomes part of the wider society. It is deeply rooted in the collective consciousness, in the systems by which we live and work. For example, why are so many organizations and companies focused on quick and short-term profits? Why do we measure the value of our efforts by the numbers on our paycheck while overlooking whether we actually enjoy the work we do? The answer is, because we believe there is enough time. We believe that eventually we will get to the important stuff when we have checked off everything. Every overworked evening, every other weekend meeting, and every task on the list moves us somewhere we want to go. But what if something comes up that we didn't count on? What if death comes tomorrow? Or the day after tomorrow? But let me reassure you, you are not alone in this. Without the myth of immortality, half of modern society would probably fall apart. In fact, even the most glitzy corporations benefit from people believing they can put their dreams on hold because they have plenty of time. But right now might be a good time to stop and ask yourself, what am I actually doing with my time? And what does it lead me to? What real meaning do I find in this merry-go-round? How do I value my time? Is this how I'm happy? I'm not trying to tell you that the focus on goals, career, or finances is wrong. It's just that we live here on this planet called Earth, and our pass to this life is not an open-ended ticket. The key is to find balance. Treat your time as the most valuable thing you own. Selling time for cheap money, short-term profit, long-term loss. Have you ever thought about how valuable every morning, afternoon, or minute of your evening really is? Time is our most precious resource, yet we often sell it incredibly cheap. We don't even realize it, but the moment we say yes to every offer that comes our way, we are actually having a sale in our lives. Now imagine if you were doing that with something else. You'd just give away your clothes, your car, or even your favorite perfume at ridiculously low prices. Does that sound ridiculous? But that's exactly how we treat time. Why is selling time for cheap money so common? Simply because we don't always see the true value of our time. If you don't realize the value of your time, you can easily end up giving it away carelessly or selling it below cost. You accept tasks you don't enjoy, projects that mentally exhaust you, and meetings where you wish you were somewhere else entirely. And what do you get as a result? Maybe a few dollars, maybe not even that. What is certain, however, is that you lose something much more significant along the way, a piece of your life. Every unforgettable minute you throw away on someone else, you're missing out on an opportunity to use it for something truly fulfilling. And that could be not only creative work, but also moments of peace, rest, or time with loved ones. Selling time below its true value often stems from our inclination to short-sightedly assess our choices. We see only the immediate gain, not considering the long-term consequences. It's only an hour of work now tonight, we tell ourselves. I can do it. But when this hour is repeated regularly, you find that instead of relaxing in the evening, watching a movie, or walking the dog, you've been a slave to endless small tasks for months. These may move you towards small, immediate gains, a quick reward, a moment of external recognition, but they do nothing to enrich your life as a whole. And what are the long-term effects? A sense of frustration, exhaustion, and, worst of all, gradual burnout. The price for short-term benefits is therefore often too high. Why? Because we automatically focus on what we can see now and don't realize the bigger picture. It's as if we have our eyes fixed only on the tip of our nose and can't see beyond where it reaches. We take offers to work in the evenings. We take on responsibilities we don't enjoy. We spend hours on useless shared projects. And often we only do this because we feel that we might otherwise be judged, that we might lose favor with a supervisor or a colleague. But agreeing to something like this is actually a form of self-sacrifice. Sacrifice of what? Time, energy, and above all, your own satisfaction. Now try to imagine an alternative scenario. What if you started to value your time as something truly precious and valuable? What if it became your personal currency that you only spent in places and occasions that matched your values and dreams? Imagine a day where you devote every hour to something that is meaningful to you, whether it's work that you enjoy and find fulfilling, time with your family, or planning your own projects that you haven't thought about in a long time, for example. Doesn't that seem like a life worth living? But how do we actually realize the value of time? Start by realizing that every yes you say to something that doesn't make sense means no to things that do make sense to you. You determine where you invest your time. If you are prioritizing short-term gain over long-term forward movement, you are making life something of a hamster wheel. You're just running and running, but you're not getting anywhere. Ask yourself the question, what am I paying for my next hour of life with now? And if your answer is stress and fatigue, maybe it's time to reevaluate your priorities. Selling your time for cheap money is not a solution, but rather a trap that is harmless until you realize it in time to change direction. Don't get sucked into it. Learn to say no to things that suck you dry. Learn to ask yourself, what value will this bring me today? And above all, remember that you only have a limited number of hours, days, and years, so how you use them is up to you. When will you die? Imagine you're in the middle of a relaxing afternoon. The sun is shining outside. You're sipping a drink. Your mind is a contented blank. And suddenly, someone slams on the brakes and asks you that very question. What would you say? That's morbid. We're only at the first drink. Or maybe, I don't know, what about you? Either way, this question won't leave you completely indifferent because at its core, it points to a reality that we're all sort of trying to dodge. If we take a moment to let go of the dramatic air of the question, we find that it actually brings with it a lot of possibilities for living better. Let's face it, what if we knew our expiration date? Maybe we'd panic trying to pack everything we could into a few hours, but what if our current ignorance is what helps us avoid stress and take things as they come? What if the mystery of when our time will come is actually the greatest peace pact we have signed with the universe? So back to the question, when will you die? The answer is, I don't know. And you know what? It's totally fine. Instead of obsessing over the answer to the question of finality, why don't we focus on a question like, how are you living right now? What are you doing to make your life joyful, fulfilled, and meaningful? We're only here for a moment, and this moment, this minute, is why we should live with a smile, with determination, and maybe even a little perspective. The truth is that no time management in the world will make us behave differently and control time. Learning to control ourselves in time takes an understanding of the deeper nature of our mortality, because nothing less is possible. Once you don't understand the reason for doing it, why even learn some time management techniques for better efficiency at work, so that it doesn't have to be so much and drag on so much? It won't work. Let's dive into practical part. It is called memento mori. Memento mori, which translates as do not forget death, is an idea that invites us to reflect on our mortality and the use of time. Creating a memento mori using a weekly schedule for a period of 80 years is a powerful tool for self-awareness. Step 1. Preparation. First thing, prepare a large piece of paper or several sheets, a notebook, a pencil, and a ruler if you want a nice clean timeline, or prepare a spreadsheet in Excel to print out. Secondly, assuming we have 80 years to live, this represents approximately 4,160 weeks. Write this number of weeks on paper or in a table. You will have 4,160 dots or cells to color in. Step 2. Create a table. Divide the 80 years into 52 columns and 80 rows. Each cell represents 1 week. If it's too much for one paper, you can do it on multiple sheets. Calculate how many weeks you have been in the world and color in exactly that many boxes. For example, if you are 30 years old, you have roughly 2,600 weeks until your target age. Start filling in the weeks from your current age forward. For each week that passes, color one box and you can note what you have done, experienced, or learned. You can also rate separately what is important to you and what you would like to change or improve. Step 3. Saving. Keep your memento mori in a visible place to remind you that time is limited. I keep my memento mori on the last page of my journal. It's a note that I can always access. This exercise allows you to see at least part of your life as a cycle of weeks that you can write down. The memento mori is therefore not only a reminder of death, but also a call to live meaningfully during your lifetime and to spend time on what is important to you so that you can tame time, at least a little.